He likes it in here so well, he wants to stay. Isaiah 40. You know, we have our teenagers, you know, we don't have a youth program per se. We like to see have a family program. But they have quite an opportunity here for being well-rounded. We have drama, the play. They got music that in the afternoon, the teenagers down there, Jan's teaching them how to sing and stuff, guys and girls. And we got sports. Usually if the guys in the sports aren't into music, and usually the guys in the music are the real, you know, you know, the way the world puts it. And that's not right. King David was a soldier, but yet he was a man after God's own heart, and he wrote many of the Psalms. You know, I think it's great when a big burly guy sings a song for us. And when you see them little sissified ones, like on the classical, on the classical station, they usually have some fag announcing the songs, and it just drives me crazy because I like classical music. Luke is in an orchestra down in Lafayette, and I mean they had a big symphony last Friday, and it's great. Good music like that is for the soul, and God is pleased when we're well-rounded like this. And it's pleasing to the Lord. Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Verse 31 is a kind of a popular verse. But often, usually, people don't even look at the background of the verse to see the doctrine. Verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to first pick up the doctrine of this verse, and also pick up some spiritual application that we need, especially for Americans. Everybody's in a hurry, and they're in a hurry going nowhere. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to slow down and find out direction that you want us to do, want us to follow, and that we can have eternal rewards and enjoy eternity with thee in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm not going to get into the doctrine of this passage, but just real simply to throw it at you, this is a tribulation application aimed at the young men. The young men here are the 144,000 Jews in Revelation 14 who are running for their lives. And during this time where it's a constant, it's a 1 minute you're alive, 1 minute you're dead situation, he says in verse 31, wait. Now, doesn't that go against human nature? Wait. I would dare say all of us hate the idea of waiting on somebody. You go to a doctor's office and your appointment's at 10, you get in about 1. You know, waiting. Waiting, 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 waiting. And of course, as humans, we're trapped by time. And I realize there's times you have a deadline, but God in heaven is not concerned about time. And if you've ever had some prayer requests that you felt needed to be answered a certain time, knowing God as God, most of the time he won't answer it within that time span, because he is not limited by our time. But the idea here is waiting on God, waiting on him. And when you wait on God, a lot of times people just run around like a chicken with their head cut off. And if you haven't experienced that great event to watch a chicken run around with its head cut off, you know, it's a great thing. You know, Americans think they're so cultured, you know, but we had a chicken that did a backflip 4 times, you know, after its head got cut off, landed on its feet. It was a pretty acrobatic thing. But Americans think they're so cultured, but you're not. You know, as far as blood and guts go, everybody says, well, I go to McDonald's. You need to find out how they actually do this stuff.
That's right.
You know, back in the old days. Okay, chicken run around and all that stuff, you know, no head and all that stuff. Okay, but as far as, that's how most humans are. They're just running here and there, and they have no direction. America's big hurry. Everybody's in a big hurry. You know, especially in the inner cities, everybody's in a big hurry. Now, in the inner cities and the vast majority of Americans, you got to tell them, slow down, slow down, slow down. Now, if you go down into Kentucky and Tennessee and get in the mountains, you usually have to say, would you please put it in first gear? You know, that's kind of how that runs there. But the idea of sitting still, Americans are very fidgety. We have loudness going at all times. Turn the radio off, on, you know, turn the TV on. And you go to the average home, and it's just noise, 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 noise. And they don't realize what a lot of times they're doing is they're covering up God. Because how does he speak? Through the still, small voice. America has all these time-saving devices, but no time to read your Bible. I actually had a guy in jail tell me one time that he didn't have time to read his Bible. This is Jasper County Jail. They have nothing to do in Jasper County Jail. It's not like the federal pens where it's, you know, just a resort place. Americans, can you imagine? None of us had to go down to the stream this morning to get your daily water supply, did you?
Close,
okay. You know where he lives, you can understand that. Okay, you didn't have to go to the Kankakee River to wash your clothes this morning, I don't think. last night, did that. Okay, but if it's dark, we turn a switch on. Hit a switch. If it's cold, hit a switch. Adjust the thermostat, unless you burn wood. But we have all these time-saving devices, but in America, you have people traveling here and there, everywhere, getting merchandise. If you run through Ezekiel 26, 27, 28 through 32, seven chapters in there, and they have those seven chapters in that range have a focal point on Satan. And it exposes a lot of what he does. And one thing in Ezekiel 27, verse 27, it will mention the word merchandise, mariners, fares, riches, pilots, caulkers, occupiers, merchandise, merchandise, merchandise. I do believe that word is only found in the King James Bible. In Ezekiel 28, verse 18, the Lord God talking about Satan, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Traffic is only found in the King James Bible. Drug traffic, liquor traffic. The thing in America is we have too many distractions. Computers. Boy, you can waste a lot of time being on that internet. And I realize the times you can use it. It's a tool. I understand that. But it's also a tool of Satan. A lot of these things, you see, a lot of people think and they interpret Satan as going to be somebody who's going to come to you and horns, you know, and he's going to try to get you to do wrong by using something evil. The most of the devil's work is accomplished by getting you to do something good. How did he tempt Eve? She saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. Now, it says in Genesis 3 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Did the serpent appear to Eve as a snake? Half man, half snake, like some of the mythologies, which is based on Scripture. Or did he appear as a man, a 33-year-old man, blonde, like some of the blondes? They have one faction of the UFOs, the aliens, is a blonde faction. Where he appears, that's how he appears, as an angel of light. Appears as a man. And then he beguiled Eve. Seduction. And you see, this is what the devil's doing. He's doing a lot of these things. He's desensitizing American society towards morality and righteousness. And I'm going to get more details on these things as far as how devil blinds people's minds in America. They've been doing this through advertisements since the 50s.
Right.
where they will embed perverted words in there. Your conscious mind don't pick it up, but your subconscious. Disney company's doing this stuff where they are embedding wicked things for children to do. Of course, when you're dealing with an organization that has 40% sodomites on their employment, you know you're dealing. You know what you're dealing with. And you see, what they're doing is they're trying to desensitize us. And they're trying to ruin our morality. And trying to get in your brain. And trying to get you to control your brain is what they're doing. The devil's crowd is doing this stuff. The greatest tool of Satan is a Bible. You know, you say that to people, they look at you like you're nuts. That's the greatest tool of Satan as far as the devil getting his works accomplished. People in church this morning, who are they worshiping? They think they're worshiping God, and most of them are worshiping the devil. What's the Catholic Church? It's a Babylonian religion, that's what it is. It's a worship of Baal and the sun god. It's a pagan religion. The Catholic Church, and if you go to the Vatican City, if you go into St. Basilica Square, there's a perverted symbol right in there. It's a phallic symbol. Washington Monument. Where'd they get that from? They got it from Egypt. You see, and what the devil is doing is he's getting everybody busy here and there. Busy, busy, busy. Too busy for God. And what the Lord wants us to do is he wants to slow down. In 1 Kings 19, a fellow named Elijah. The Lord's going to speak to Elijah, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake or a hurricane or a storm, a wind. I mean, there's some great, fascinating things. And then he says, the Lord wasn't there. The Lord wasn't there. Where was the Lord? In 1 Kings 19. In a still small voice. That's where the Lord was, in a still small voice. And you see, Americans always got to have movement going on. You know, if you get usually teenagers that sit still for 5 minutes, they're bored. 5 minutes. 3 minutes. Television, if you watch television, the movement is 7 seconds or less. Constant movement, 7 seconds or less. That's the mental capacity of people nowadays. Can you imagine what it was like back in the 1800s when they sat in church for 2-3 hours? Americans can't do that anymore. Okay, and I'm not saying you have to be long-winded and all this stuff, but I'm telling you that the Lord wants us to slow down sometimes. Stand still. I want to show you some place in the Bible the Lord says stand still and pay attention. Look in Exodus chapter 14, if you would. Exodus 14, verse 13. The ones in Isaiah 40, he said, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. It's like a guy, if he's using a chainsaw, and he wants to get busy using a chainsaw, he's out there cutting with a chain, cutting with a saw, cutting with a saw, cutting with a saw, and then somebody says, why don't you stop and sharpen a chain? Oh, I don't got time to do that. You see, you gotta stop. He'll save time by stopping and sharpening the chain. Right. And the same goes in life. A lot of times you save time by stopping, coming to church, learn a little bit about the book, and then go out from there, and the Lord gets you on the right path as far as that goes. Exodus 14, verse 13. It says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, if you look at the context there, this is when Moses led 2 to 3 million Jewish people out of Egypt. They had 600,000 soldiers. So you're talking a minimum of 2 million, probably more like 3 million. Minimum of 3 million, but let's make it 2 to 3 million. And they have marched 6 days across what is known today as Sinai Peninsula. And they got to the western shore of a place called Gulf of Aqaba, which is the finger of the Red Sea, where you have the Red Sea, the main body of the Red Sea here, and then two fingers come up. This would be the Suez Gulf. And this is the Gulf of Aqaba, and in this middle part is known today as Sinai Peninsula. And they had marched over to this side, and they came down what's called a wadi or a canyon, and there's a road that comes right through there today,
But they marched down through there, and it got right to the edge of that shore where there's a place, a flat, a sandy place where 3 million people can pitch tents. They couldn't go north, the mountains. Couldn't go south, there's mountains. They couldn't go east, there's water, 8 miles across the water. And they couldn't go back because here's an Egyptian army getting ready to cut their throats. And so what'd Moses say? Oh, don't be afraid. What do you think 2 to 3 million people are doing at this time? You think they're standing still? No, they're jockeying for position. They're trying to figure out, the cowards are trying to get inside. Well, if I can hide inside here and play dead, maybe I can survive this thing. They're talking amongst themselves. Boy, they're talking loud about this stuff. We're going to die, we're going to die. A lady over here is screaming. A kid over here is yelling. You know, someone over here is screaming. And finally, Moses yells at the top of his lungs, gets their attention. Don't be afraid. And somebody over here says, yeah. And he says, stand still. As a parent would say to their kid, sit still. Got ants in your pants, boy? Sit still. He says, stand still and see the salvation of God. You know why a lot of Americans won't get saved? Too busy. You know why if you get on the streets and knock on doors and try to hand people a gospel tract, try to talk to them about their soul? It's too simple. Don't got time. You see, if you find some religious leader and hand them a gospel tract, it's a funny look on their face. You know, I had three of them down there in Lafayette. They had a long robe on, you know, big cross hanging down. So I couldn't resist. I had to try to give them a gospel tract. And they got, no, thank you. Too busy for God. You see, people don't want to hear salvation. It's simple. It's simple in Jesus Christ. Psalms 9, verse 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And it didn't say forsake God. It said forget. Well, I forgot to read my Bible today. Well, I forgot to pray. Well, I just forgot about this. Or I forgot about that. Well, you didn't seem to forget about the things you love. All nations that forget God, you know where America's at? They forgot God. That's where they're at. Too busy for God. I got to make a living. Got to make a living. Got to work. Got to do this. You see, as far as this goes, a lot of times people don't get saved because salvation is too simple. That's their problem. Okay, the second area. If you would, look in 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27. We have to slow down. Stop and think. Stand still. 1 Samuel 9, verse 27. This one is between King Saul, or the future King Saul, and Samuel. Samuel is the prophet of the nation of Israel at this time. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, King Saul is going to be crowned king, officially. And in chapter 9, verse 27, Samuel is letting Saul know that he is going to be the king. And in verse 27, Samuel says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, just walking along, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, and he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now that's the first occurrence in your Bible, chronologically, that the phrase, the word of God, shows up. Very first time. And he says, stand still. And I'm going to show you the word of God. In the afternoon services, the last couple, 2-3 weeks, you know, I've been trying to show you how to deal with somebody when you're sitting down or talking to them, and it appears maybe a long discussion of showing them what the Bible's got to say. But the thing is those discussions are becoming more and more rare. Because Americans don't want to take the time. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then it says, for there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. That's today. That's what's going on in the average American church today. The average church this morning, they had about 40 minutes of entertainment of the music. Somebody gets up there, oh, we love him.
and they get going like that. And I like what Mike Roberts says, they're all window washers. They're going to wash in the windows, you know, going back and forth. And it's all entertainment is what it is. And then you get about 15, 20 minutes max of somebody giving them some psychology. They ain't give them doctrine. They get them psychology is what they're giving them. Tickle their ears. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's it to you? You know, that's about the way you think about it. And that's what's going on in America, all across this country. People will not sit down and reason with you out of the scriptures anymore. It's a rare thing. 1 Samuel 12, and this is what Samuel's trying to get somebody to do with them. 1 Samuel 12, verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. You see, that's the problem. A lot of people do not, they think religion is an emotional thing. And most people's religious beliefs are emotional. They are not founded in substance. There's no logic to it. You do not reason it out. Why do you believe what you believe?
Well, we just taught this.
You see, that's what most people will say. Why do I believe what I believe? I've searched it out and logically came to a conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Savior. There's empirical proof that Jesus Christ has done things that nobody has ever done and nobody will ever do. Anybody can see that Muhammad's a fake, but you got a billion people to fall in line with it. They call him a prophet, he never prophesied. I said that to Micah, the guide of Israel. When we're in Israel, we get on the Temple Mount. He gives a little spiel about Islam. And then when he got done, our group was walking along, and I came along beside Micah, the guide. He's a Jewish guide. I said, Micah, they call him Muhammad, the prophet, right? He said, yeah, that's right. I said, did he ever prophesy? He goes, David, you're using your mind. You see, that's the thing is, they think that when you get talking religion, your brain goes anew. There's no logic to it. A blind faith. This Bible doesn't have a blind faith. The Lord himself said in Malachi 3:10, he says, prove me now herewith. Check me out. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be as white as snow. That's logic. That's being reasonable. I had a kid one time ask me why I believe what I believe. He was a Wiccan. He was a witch. He said, why do you believe what you believe? And I said, because of scientific empirical proof. Oh, I never heard that before. Well, that's why we're supposed to believe what we believe. Creation has more scientific proof than evolution ever does. Acts 17, verse 12. Here's what Paul did. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. It's reasonable. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ is very reasonable and it's very logical. You see, as far as what this Bible's got for us, the Lord wants us to think. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, if you check out American Christianity today versus American Christianity in the 1700s, there is a gap about the size of the Grand Canyon. I mean, you remember the days, some of you may be remembering them, but back in the early 30s and 40s when we had probably the last good revivals in America during the Great Depression, with Billy Sunday, most of the big meetings we have nowadays is nothing but money, money, money getting people to come. They got to have millionaires backing them in order to get a crowd together today. And it's not so much the Spirit of God pushing these things, it's money that's pushing it. But back in those days, they would schedule a two-week revival, every night, every day. And then they would say, well, it's going on good with when Wilbur Chapman was going with Billy Sunday.
they would go schedule them 2 weeks and it ended up being 6 week revivals. Can you imagine 6 week revival services in America? Every night? Not today. You see, people's in a hurry. You got quick instant oatmeal, you got microwave oven, you got fast food, Christianity, everything else should be fast. But not with God. The reason why people don't know this Bible is they don't sit down and read it. They can watch television for 2 to 3 hours, but to read a Bible for 2 to 3 hours? Oh, now we're getting fanatical. And that's the problem with America. And you see, the Lord wants to slow down. Slow down. We have too many distractions in this country. Go to the mall. Forget the mall. You want some of the weirdest people in the world to go to malls. You wonder if they're human. What am you? You know, you have to look at them. And then if you look at them, they look at you like, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at you, what I'm looking at. Never saw anything like that before. I mean, people in America just showing off the flesh. That's satanic, showing off the flesh. The Lord wants to stop, stand still, pay attention to God. The third area, look in Numbers chapter 9. The Lord says, stop, stand still. Listen to me. Slow down. Numbers chapter 9, verse 6. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses, before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? Moses said unto them, stand still. Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Okay, well, the doctrine here is they are supposed to keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. These fellows happened to be around a dead body, so they couldn't keep the Passover. And so they asked Moses, are we going to be left out? We got to wait another year for this thing? And Moses said, oh, okay, stand still and let's see what God's got to say. So here's plan B. And the Lord gives him an answer. He said, okay, do it the second month on the 14th day of the month. Now, there's sometimes you and I forfeit plan A. And so the Lord will have plan B for us, or plan C. And in order to get these things, you've got to ask God to help you along these things. You've got to stop and pay attention to him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And this is, now, technically, as far as religion goes here, this is Judaism, and they're dealing with sanctification is what they're dealing with. They were not cleansed or sanctified under the Jewish laws, because they got around a dead body. And so then they had to follow certain things, and then they could come back and get sanctified. Now, a lot of times, when a person leads a life and done a certain thing, certain sins, whatnot, there are occasions when God will give you a solution to your problem that quick. Some people, when they got saved, maybe they were drinkers or smokers or cussers or whatnot, bad before they got saved. There are a few people that when they got saved, it stopped immediately. And that's a blessing. But there are some sins that is going to pester you to the day you die. Besetting sin. And you see, a lot of times, if it took us 6, 7 years, you know, a lot of people, when they, you know, get sick, they think, oh, we're going to pop a pill and get well this quick. It took you 10 years to get sick. Do you think it's going to take you 2 minutes to get well? Now, finances, as far as financial struggles, is probably the best illustration. When you get a financial mess and you get a hole deep down in there and you're slapping interest rates on top, it's going to take you a long time to get out of that hole. It took a long time to dig that hole, and it's going to take longer to fill that hole in. Now, there is a quick fix on some of that, and that's called bankruptcy. Now, I believe the bankruptcy laws are based on the laws of Jubilee in the Bible, and there's that doesn't mean a person not to pay their debt, but there are some advantages of that, wherever the Lord would lead. But I'm saying, as far as sin goes, sometimes if we were involved in something for a long time, it's going to take a while to recover from those things. And we have to understand that. And we have to ask God direction on those things. So that's dealing with sanctification. If you would look in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3 is dealing with being a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Joshua 3, verse 7 and 8. This is dealing with you're facing a certain battle. We all have certain battles, certain trials, certain tribulations, certain problems that we're facing, certain sins that seem to pester you may not pester me. You know, for somebody to stick a bottle of beer in front of me is about like, what do I want to drink that for? Looks like that should be in the toilet. Why would I want to drink something that should be in the toilet? You know, with me, you know, that's nothing to me, but some folks have a problem with that. Different background that I got. You see, for somebody to walk up to me and say, take this, you know, drink this or smoke this joint, you know, or something like that. What do you think, I look like an idiot? You know, I had a guy offer me a beer at the ballpark one time. He said, would you like a beer? And I looked at him, I said, do I look like an idiot? And he looked at me and said, no. I said, okay, thank you. You know, but them, that's a problem. You see, folks have different problems, different things. I got my own problems. Everybody else got something else. We all got different giants in our life that we're fighting. Everybody's got something. The Lord seems like he gives each of us enough sins to remind us that we're a flesh. About like he gives every dog enough fleas, remember it's a dog. But we are to have a conquered life, though. We are to have a victorious Christian life. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now that Jordan River is not a gentle flowing stream. It's not like you can just stand on that water and all, it's just, you know, come through. That thing is moving. From the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, where that thing's coming down there, that elevation is coming down pretty fast, and he's telling these fellas, stand in there and just stand still. You know, preferably I would have said, why don't you part it first and then we'll stand still. But he wants us to get our feet wet. And so there you are standing in there. Now what's going to happen with these people is that they are going to become the conquerors over Jericho. If you would, look in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:37. Do you know the Lord, if you're saved, the Lord has given you as an individual everything that you need to live a victorious Christian life. Everything. You got it all. When Jesus Christ came into you, you got everything as far as that goes. But then why don't we have a victorious Christian life? Do we need to pray for victory? You don't need to pray for it. You are more than conquerors, according to this book. As a saved person, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we will be more than conquerors. It didn't say will be, did it? Present tense. That means we have victory over it. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Conquerors over what? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities. That's something weird. Nor powers. That's something weird too. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we have certain giants that you're going to face. Giants of bitterness, giants of lust, giants of bad habits. And the thing is that the Lord says that you are more than conquerors. The honest thing is we got to throw it on God. So I don't know how to do that. A lot of times I don't either. Just throw it on God. You say, what do you mean by that? Just tell God, I can't figure it out. I can't get a victory over that. I'm letting you take care of it. You're going to have to change my heart. You're going to have to work on me. You personally are going to have to win this thing for me because I can't do it. That's what the Lord wants to do. According to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the Lord goes to and fro looking for people who trust in him. That's what God wants us to do. The Lord wants to be not only our Savior, but our hero, our rescuer. He wants all the glory. You see, if we just conquered of our own nature, then who gets the glory? My self-discipline. So if we get on our knees as a kid, or go out all by yourself and go out in the woods by yourself so nobody can hear you and scream and cry like a little kid begging God, help me! Amen. Like a little kid's crying out to God for help. Like a little kid who's maybe got his hand up holding daddy's hand trying to get him to lead him along. It's better if daddy grabs the kid's hand rather than the kid grabs daddy's hand. Because he's got a better grip. And there's time, the Lord is looking for children. Be followers of God as dear children. And we need to humble ourselves to our God. Best way to pray to God is on your face. And if you really want to get serious about this thing, get alone in your house, get on your face, and get stark naked to pray to God. Because God sees you that way anyway. Get a hold of your face down in the dirt. That's where we need to be with our God. God's looking right down in our heart. And he wants us to come to him. He wants to be our hero. That's what God wants to do to us. He wants to show us his power. You got somebody bothering you? Call your big brother, Jesus Christ, to help you out. Trust in him and throw it on him. Tell him, I can't do it. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm fed up, and I'm throwing it on you. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Take a walk at night by yourself and get out there all by yourself. Walk in somebody's field, down some tree line, get all by yourself, and just get out there when it's pitch dark out there. Hold your hands up to God Almighty. I can't deal with it. And throw it on him. Lord, you got to help me on this. I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And then we'll see some conquering going on. That's what God wants us to do. Look, if you would, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. I mean, you're going to have to do it alone. Best time to worship God by yourself anyway. That way you're not impressing anybody. You know, when we sing here, yeah, you're always self-conscious if you're not, you know, if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you don't really want to sing real loud in here because you know the person in front of you is going to, you know, cut it out, man. Well, you get out there all by yourself where nobody can hear you. You could just yell at the top of your lungs and the Lord up there is enjoying that, what you're doing. You know, as a little kid who's just having a hard time screaming for mom and dad's attention, trying to get their attention, that's what the Lord wants us to do. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. Here's getting ready to have a battle. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord." And what did they do? They cried out to God in the battle. They're fighting and they're crying out to God, asking God to help them. Look, if you would, back up chapter 14, verse 11. Here's an example of somebody crying out to God. This is another king. It's another battle. 2 Chronicles 14:11. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God." How is crying unto God? Lord, would you help me? Crying is screaming at the top of your lungs, yelling out to God, asking for his help. He cried unto the Lord. Now, put that thing and look up that word cried and run that throughout the Bible and you will be amazed. That's if somebody, if you're in a place and somebody's trying to mug you, cry out loud to God at that time. There's some people that got, you know, the mug her in this case, and there's some testimonies where they actually, you know, called attention to the Lord to this guy, you know, and rebuked the spirits in that guy and he took off. cry out to God. This is a cry for help. Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God. For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, and let not man prevail against thee. Chapter 16, verse 9 is that one I mentioned. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Wherein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from hence thou shalt have wars. That's what this guy did. He didn't cry out to God in this case. The same fellow, but it's a couple years later. The Lord wants to show us his power. Why? Because that gets you to brag on him. The Lord wants us to brag on him. And when you see his power, you can't help but brag on him. And who gets the glory for that? He does. You see that Romans 8, that is a promise. We are more than conquerors. That means now. And the thing is, we just need to throw our helplessness onto the Savior, and then he shows us his conquering methods. And he'll take them giants down, those giants or whatever giant each of us are facing of sin or whatever we're dealing with. The Lord help you conquer those things, and you'll be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we'd all realize that we are helpless without thee. We are nothing without thee. This is a place where everybody is a nobody. But yet we have a God who is eternally powerful. And God, you can create something out of nothing. And if we remain as nothing, then you can create something out of us. And Lord, we are weak. And when we face these giants in our lives, and everybody's got them, everybody's got these things facing sometime. Maybe some things are going well for some folks right now. And Lord, I pray that prosperity would not distract us from your words. But Lord, a lot of times we learn more through adversity than we do through prosperity. And Lord, I pray that if somebody's here is going through some tough things, I pray you'd help them to cry out to thee and ask you to help them be more than conquerors. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us as Americans beware of the distractions. Slow down. Listen for that still small voice. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, it's found simply in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, in the last 2 or 3 months, sat down and read your Bible for an hour, stand still. Get a hold of God. If you can read a magazine for a couple hours, you should be able to read a Bible for a couple hours. Stand still. We got too many distractions in this country. The Lord wants us to stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. See what the Word of God's got for us. Stand still. Find out what the Lord wants us to live holy lives, to be conquerors in Him. The instruments plays. The altar's open if you need it. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Cry out to God. People often say, I'm, okay under the circumstances. Well, get over the circumstances. Get on top of them. So I don't know how to do it. A lot of times I don't either. But I know a God that knows. Jesus Christ is there to succor us, to succor us. That means to come alongside you and help you. He's tempted above all. Nobody's been tempted more than Jesus Christ. He's yet without sin. So let's go to the one who's conquered. Jesus Christ will never fail you, but we fail ourselves because we don't come to him. He's the captain of our salvation. Lord, thank you for a great promise in this book. And Lord, there's times when I've walked at night, looked up at that moon, cried out to the creator of that moon, cried out to the creator of them stars, the one who spoke those things into existence, and beg you to help. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to realize there's times we all need to be out there taking a little walk, stand still, slow down, get time of solitude, be alone. Go someplace where we can get alone. And I realize what the world does, the world tries to cram us all in cities so there's no room, and I know that's a curse. And Lord, I pray you just help us get a hold of you and realize that we are more than conquerors through you. And it's only through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lord, bless your word.